This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. Thrilled today to be joined by a tremendous leader. We're joined today by Jeff Thiemann. Jeff's got a fascinating background. He's a journalist at one time, ended up in leadership and association leadership. He now leads and has led for some time the Colorado Hospital Association. He's going to talk to us about what issues the Colorado hospitals are watching closely, trends, changes, issues, and more. Jeff, pleasure to visit with you. Can you take a moment and introduce yourself to the audience and tell the audience a little bit about the Colorado Hospital Association as well?
Sure. Great to be with you, Scott. Thanks so much for having me today. The Colorado Hospital Association is the statewide membership organization representing Colorado's acute care hospitals and health systems all along the continuum of care. And we represent them here in Denver in the state capital for policy issues that percolate at the state level. And then we also represent them in Washington, D.C. with our federal delegation on issues that are federal and which affect hospital finances and operations. So we're the advocate for hospitals in Colorado, and I've been in this space for more than 20 years after I left journalism and moved over to the association side.
Thank you. And talk a bit about the biggest issues, the most important issues that Colorado hospitals are thinking about. You've got large systems, you have small systems, but tell us a little bit about what are the issues that are front and center for the Colorado hospitals?
Sure. We do have a diverse membership. We have urban and rural. We have small hospitals and large ones, specialty hospitals and general acute care hospitals. So you're going to have a range of challenges that pertain differently depending on your community, depending on your type of organization and facility. But some of the common challenges, Scott, I think start with financials. As we sit here now, roughly 70% of Colorado hospitals do not have what we consider a sustainable operating margin. And at least half of all of the hospitals in our state have a zero or negative margin. And so when we look at the sustainability and the future of a system where that's the case, we really need to do a better job making sure that these hospitals are reimbursed at levels that allow them to carry out their missions and continue to be a resource to patients and communities. So that's one big issue, is the financial challenge. The next one I would mention is workforce, which has been a challenge, you know, going back well before the pandemic, definitely intensified during the pandemic because of the workforce shortages and challenges that precipitated. But we still have issues with recruitment, retention, and that's all along the continuum of care. It's at all levels of the organization, whether you're talking about the executive suite or clinical people. So that's a challenge, and it has corollary challenges, right? For example, housing. Big issue here in Colorado and elsewhere around the country, where there's literally just not enough affordable housing for us to put our employees and clinical workers and to make sure that people can join the communities where they want to work in a hospital. So that's a big one. And then the last one I would mention, there's lots of others, but I think the mental health space is a particularly big challenge for us. There's just not enough capacity in the system to place everyone in the proper treatment venue as quickly and effectively as patients deserve and as the delivery system needs. So I hear a lot about that in my visits around the state.
You know, Jeff, let me ask you this question. You served previously as the head of an association for 6 years of another great state association. You've also served in leadership at the Catholic Health Association. Give us a sense of how much the issues differ from state to state. How much are they the same? You know, people concerned about the same things like margins, behavioral health, and other kinds of issues. First, how different they could be from state to state? Can you give us a sense of that? Or yeah, association, I mean, to association?
It's a great question, Scott. I think the problems I just listed, I think, are probably very common. They have different contours, but they're going to look very similar across different states. I think that having worked in Washington, D.C., Vermont, and now Colorado, I would say the difference is the political environment and how you move a problem to a policy or how you fix a policy. It really is dependent on whether you have, you know, people you can collaborate with or it constitutes more of a fight. What does that political environment look like? For example, in Washington, D.C. right now, you know, it's hard to do anything because we have a lot of division and you know, challenges with people just literally getting work done. And so I think it really depends on the political atmosphere And then it also depends on, from an association standpoint, do you have a leadership voice? Are you a trusted partner? Are you a thought leader? And, you know, ideally you want to be the answer to be yes to those questions so that you have a voice at the policy table.
And what's the environment like in Colorado currently? It seems like it's become sort of very much a, what they talk about nationally is closer to a purple state. It's sort of a great mix of Democrat and Republican. How much does that impact policymaking? And it seems like Colorado seems like one of the more relatively sane states in the nation. I don't know if that's a fair statement or not, but tell us what the political environment feels like there.
Well, I think it used to be the case, Scott, that Colorado was a purple state. I think we can confidently say now that it's deep blue. And so that does have political implications. One example is that the governor has an office called the Office for Saving People Money on Healthcare. So it's very straightforward in terms of what they're trying to do there. And that's a laudable goal we share. The issue is that when the rubber meets the road and you have to figure out how to do it and make sure the system is affordable, but also sustainable and effective and accessible, those are trade-offs. And sometimes when you have a tough political atmosphere where they think hospitals, for example, might be the ones to go after for cost, you know, there's a lot of other players. And so you really have to tell a good story and make sure that you're providing all the context that's needed to understand those issues and not just let politics drive it.
So as the state tilts red or blue, what does that mean from the perspective of the association? Does that mean more time spent on the blue side? Will you still have to maintain relationships on the red side? How does that look from an association leadership perspective in trying to manage the changes in states and politics?
I mean, I think that the way I answer that, Scott, is that we have to have strong, durable relationships with people on both sides of the aisle, regardless of whether they have power. Depending on how a particular vote goes, you may need a couple Republicans. In another case, Republicans won't help you because we have a supermajority. And so you really need to make sure you've got all of the right relationships and access points with the Democrats. So I think it's you always want good relationships in both chambers and in both parties. And you do your best to maximize that because you never know who you're going to need, when you're going to need. And you want everyone to understand your story and be part of that.
Thank you very, very much. And talk for a second about, Jeff, I'll talk first about the issue that I find so interesting. You've had this great career where you've traversed a couple different things. Talk about what career advice and you seem to actually, whenever I've had a chance to visit with you, I had a chance to meet you in person, you seem thoughtful, engaging, interested, curious. What advice would you give to people trying to have impactful or interesting careers? It seems like you love what you do. What advice would you give to others?
So I do love what I do because you get to have a real voice in making policy that affects real people's lives. And so that's a privilege and a really important thing that I enjoy and am proud of. I think the advice I'd give to other leaders and maybe particularly young leaders, the first thing is to listen. I think so often in leadership, we feel the need to demonstrate how smart or capable or confident we are. And those are good things, but I think sometimes we also just need to demonstrate, in fact, most of the time, we need to demonstrate that we're just willing and able to listen. Whether it's listening to your staff or in our case, listening to legislators or the media, you have to really, I think that's so critical to listen and demonstrate that you are there to hear and not just be dictatorial about things. The second thing I'd say is, really important to network and meet people and expand your circle and have a group of colleagues you can go to when you are challenged by something, when you need a shoulder to cry on, when you need some professional support on an issue that you just may not know a lot about as a new leader. And to have that network is super valuable. And then lastly, Scott, something I always say is don't be afraid to surround yourself with people who are smarter than you. And certainly don't be afraid to surround yourself with people who will challenge you. In my experience, you get the best teamwork, you get the best results when you just put together the best possible team that you know is going to serve you well and tell you when you're wrong and support you when you're right. And so I think that's really important advice.
Thank you very, very much. And I guess one other question, like, what are you most excited about right now? When you get up in the morning, get yourself going, what gets the blood flowing? What are you most excited about currently?
Yeah, you know, I had the chance to visit more than 80 hospitals since I've joined the association, and that was to make sure I know my members and build relationships. And I think what gets me excited in the morning to come to work is the passion and the unwavering commitment to patient care that I've seen across all of those visits, all of those hospitals. The people I meet go to work every day because they care deeply about doing what's right for the people and communities they take care of. And if we can support that work and we can make it easier and better, then we also make life easier and better for the patients and people who seek treatment in Colorado's hospitals. So that's what's exciting, and that's what kind of gets me going every day.
Thank you very much. Again, Jeff Thiemann, president of the Colorado Hospital Association, a terrific leader, fascinating career. Thank you for joining us today on the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. What a pleasure to visit with you. Look forward to getting a chance to visit with you again in person soon.
I'd love it. It was an honor, Scott. Thanks for having me.